Ron, I'm hearing great things about Logan, the James Mangold directed, Hugh Jackman starring as Wolverine, from what I understand, the final Wolverine movie for Hugh Jackman.
Well, and don't believe everything you hear, Scott. I mean, in Hollywood, you can always show back up again, even if you died in the last movie. Didn't Patrick Stewart? Never mind.
That is true. there was the Professor X bit the dust at one point.
Right.
Yeah, he comes back.
Yeah, and you know, this is probably Hugh Jackman's last Wolverine movie where he's the star. He might show up in an X-Men movie. This is the 10th X-Men Marvel movie. So, you know, they keep making money. And this one, you're right, 93% fresh on RottenTomatoes.com. It is rated R, which I think is the first X-Men movie to be rated R. But since Deadpool, now people really want their superhero movies to be R-rated. And this one mostly for violence and language and stuff like that.
And probably there's been an evolution in terms of from the perspective of the studios thinking, well, these are kids' movies, and now they're movies because they're making so much money.
Yeah, you know what? The biggest ones will still be PG-13. You're not going to see an R-rated Star Wars movie anytime soon, right? And so there's a niche for this kind of stuff. As mentioned, Deadpool being such a huge hit internationally, we'll start seeing a few more R-rated superhero movies. But this one looks good, and they're, you know, it's kind of a Western too, and there's a little girl. I can't quite figure out, is she his, or just is he just her protector? I mean, there's a couple interesting storylines going on here. I can't wait to see it on the IMAX especially.
Now, we've got several other movies that are opening today. Tell us about these films. I have not really heard anything much about these other films that are opening.
The other wide release that should be maybe second or third, or probably third or fourth place at the box office this week is The Shack, based on a bestseller that sold millions of copies. It's a you know, faith-based themed story. Sam Worthington plays the lead character, a father who's suffering from the loss of a child. And he's mad at God, and so God sends him an invitation to meet him at the shack for the weekend. And so Octavia Spencer is playing God. There's a Jesus and a Holy Spirit character. So he spends the weekend essentially with the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, and learns to, you know, forgive and lots of life lessons. Now, if you read the book, the movie's going to mean more to you than if you don't. But I'm saying, pay no attention to the bad reviews. I really like The Shack.
And then also we've got Table 19 and Before I Fall, and also a United Kingdom.
Yeah, United Kingdom looks fantastic. 85% on Rotten Tomatoes for that. Rosamund Pike, David Oyelowo, he plays a Botswanan prince who falls for a white English girl and sets off an international incident over their love story about the time in the 40s when apartheid was taking hold in Africa. And so, you know, a love story, but with a lot of true historical drama as well. Before I Fall is actually one reviewer calling it Heathers meets Groundhog Day. Okay, so it's like these teen girls, they're out partying, a terrible accident occurs, she dies but wakes up in the morning and starts reliving her life that day over and over again until she gets it right. You know, there's issues like teen bullying and sexuality brought up in this movie, and it's getting good reviews too. 73 out of 100 for that.
But it also sounds sort of like a horror movie.
Yeah, there's some horrible things that happen, although I think it's dealing more with social issues in this recurrence of her day over and over again. But yeah, there's horrible things are happening to these kids.
And then Table 19.
Yeah, this is pure comedy drama about the table out there on the edge of the wedding reception where we put people we had to invite, and then none of them know each other. Anna Kendrick plays sort of the lead role. She's the ex-girlfriend of the best man. You've got June Squibb in there as one of the characters, Craig Robinson, Lisa Kudrow, and others. Just, you know, a fun comedy about a bunch of people that get together at a wedding.
And we also have a new slate of indie films that are opening at Woodland, including Tony Erdmann, which was nominated for Best Foreign Film. It didn't win for the Oscars, but it's been getting a lot of rave reviews. It's a very interesting film. Eric, tell us about this.
Yeah, in some ways, it's sort of a hard movie to explain. It's in that it's just so quirky. But really, it's the story of this young woman kind of bordering on middle age. She's trying to move along in her career. She's moved to a different city from where she grew up, and her father, who she's had a little bit of an estranged relationship with through her parents' divorce and all the, you know, her backstory. He decides he's going to show up and wants to see how she's doing, and he can tell that she's not doing very well, so he wants to be a part of her life again. But he is really strange. He's the guy that's just always kind of practical joking. He's the guy that walks around with the funky teeth in his pocket that he pops out, sticks in his mouth, and, you know, likes to be funny in all the wrong times and all the wrong places. So he shows up and he starts doing this, and he creates 1,000 very awkward situations for her right away and early on. But then he starts to pretend to be a consultant in the business world in which she's working and trying to advance her career. And he calls himself Tony Erdman. And so he starts playing this character in her life, and she kind of just is forced to, and then later sort of decides to go along with it all. So it ends up playing out as this really quirky father-daughter relationship film. But it's hard to describe, other than, you know, it's German. So, you know, it has a lot of, it has a different sensibility about its comedy. But, you know, as we were talking before, you know, Jack Nicholson and Kristen Wiig they're talking about they're going to do an American version of this. That makes sense to me as an American version of this film. But that will feel really tonally different than Tony Erdman.
And everything I've read about this movie is that it is not really quite like anything you've ever seen before.
No, there are a few scenes in this movie that are so unexpected, and maybe even potentially offensive to some people, but they are the best parts of the movie, and as far as the craft of the storytelling. So it's a really unique movie experience. It's almost 3 hours long, so it's not a short time in the theater. So it feels long because it is long, but it doesn't feel long. And I wasn't, you know, looking at my watch going, when is this thing going to be over? It does move along really nicely.
Now, you've got two animated films that were also nominated for the Oscars this year that are just opening this week.
Yeah, so The Red Turtle opens today. It's a foreign film, but, you know, don't worry about that if you don't like reading subtitles, because there's about 7 words in the entire movie. It's almost entirely visually told. So I watched this actually with my 10-year-old son. We were both mesmerized. It's the story of a guy who gets stuck on an island. Essentially, it's like Castaway in that sense. He gets stuck on an island and he's trying to get off. And there's this giant turtle that keeps foiling his plan. And so he then starts to have a bit of a relationship with this tortoise. And then the film takes quite a mystical turn, which I'll let the film speak for itself and that mystical turn it takes. But I was just transfixed. I mean, we just, like I said, there's almost no dialogue. And to sit there next to my 10-year-old son and both of us just love every second of it, it's powerful storytelling.
Is it a French film?
It is. But like I said, there's maybe 10 words in it. So, yes, it has that foreign sensibility about it. It feels like a foreign film in that sense, but it's not because you're hearing a lot of French language.
And then the French also gave us My Life as a Zucchini.
Right. So this actually opens next week, Friday, and then we'll just get to play 3 weeks instead of the full 4 because of its release plan. But this is so this film is PG-13. The Red Turtle is PG. My Life as a Zucchini is not a little kid's movie. It's claymation. It is incredibly crafted. I believe it took them over 5 years to make this hour and 10-minute movie. And the attention to detail and the movement is all very obvious that they spent a lot of painstaking craft in this. But what makes this film work so well is Zucchini is this little boy who's orphaned, and he is brought by a police officer to an orphanage. And most of the film is him becoming friends with the fellow orphans in the orphanage. And then you start finding out all of their backstories, and they are tragic. They are sad, tragic stories for these kids. What is so brilliant about why this movie has to be made with claymation, in my opinion, is there's an inherent fragility to a claymation character, right? I mean, they look like if you smack them, they'll just be smushed, right? And And these little kids who have come from these traumatic experiences, they are those fragile little people. And so the medium and the content of the story are so beautifully paired together. I don't think this movie works if it's not claymation. It's just brilliant way to tell this story. So, and it takes twists and turns, and it sounds sadder than it actually is, but it's so tender. The credits started rolling, and I looked over at my wife, who I was watching it with, and we both just had little tears running down our cheeks. You know, it's just like, that was a beautiful story. So, this is one. I mean, I loved Zootopia. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't surprised that it won Best Picture. This is the best animated film I've seen in a long time.
Now, another film that is opening is Neruda, which is based on the life of Chilean poet Pablo Neruda. He won the Nobel Prize, and if you've never read any Pablo Neruda, I'd highly recommend him. Very lyrical poet. What's this film like?
Scott, I knew you were going to know something about this character. I just knew when I walked in, I was like, Scott always knows something about the most obscure characters in these movies. So yes, I'm glad you know about this. The movie is, it's based on obviously this real person, but it's a very fictional story. So they took a lot of license with it. He was a communist in Chile, and he was placed into their government as a senator. So those things really happened. I don't know about any other factual pieces of the movie past that. But he was basically being hunted down by another political person. And that's sort of the story. So it's sort of a chase movie. So you're watching Neruda weave and wind his way through the Chilean country. And so you have all these different settings because Chile is just, you know, geographically such an interesting country. They refer to it as an island that has, you know, a sea on both sides. Just on the one side, the Andes are the frozen waves that never move. And so it is sort of a biopic.
Pick.
And it changes its tone in a number of different ways. I mean, it has some noir to it. It has some chase to it. It has some comedy to it. And oftentimes that's really bad news for a movie. It makes it schizophrenic and not know what it is. That's not the case with this movie. It knows exactly what it is. The director is really smartly swapping genres in different times to create a movie that really feels unique and different and exciting. So it's, it's Spanish language film. It was the Chilean submission for best foreign language film. Didn't get nominated, but 95%. No, I think it's sitting at Rotten Tomatoes. It's a really great film.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.